Well, good evening to our Saturday evening group, and good morning to those joining us on Sunday morning. Happy pre-Mother's Day to you, and happy Mother's Day tomorrow. Mother's Day can be a day that is full of many different emotions. It can be a lovely day full of joy and sweet memories for some, but it can also be a bittersweet day full of difficult memories or hurt for others. For many, this day has great memories and fond recollection of looking back and remembering those who have or had a great mother. You remember many different details and events. You may even remember sights and smells, just stopping to think about those times locked inside of your memory. You may even remember, As described by Paul writing to young Timothy, your mother may have been like Eunice. Maybe there was a heritage passed along like Lois, Timothy's grandmother. Those women passed the faith from one generation to the next. For others, it is different. Perhaps your experience has been pain or loss. Last week, we looked at Naomi and Ruth and their loss. Naomi's loss of her sons and husband. Ruth may have felt loss of what could have been 10 years and no children, and her husband has also died. And we were encouraged last week to look to the Lord. He does not change. We can trust Him amid life's storms and through dark times. Our circumstances may not change. You might be unable to have children, or the adoption seems to never materialize. However, the Lord is good. He is at work inside of our lives, producing Christ-likeness through the waiting and through the pain. Even amidst our challenging circumstances, the Lord is good. For those of us who follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have a secure hope. We are included in the family of God as adopted sons and daughters. We are part of a big, fantastic family. Because of the gospel, we can enter into a rest that produces peace. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And we have a relationship and fellowship with the living God. The rest that the world tries to look for, but will never be found unless people come to Christ. I've titled this sermon, Resting in the Gospel. We all need to understand our Christian walk is more about who we are becoming instead of doing. The Pharisees had lists of all their doings, but they were whitewashed tombs that looked good on the outside, their actions for the praises of others, but inside were dead bodies. We find rest in the gospel, rest that is only found in Christ. This is not about performance and doing a struggling where you are trying to meet mental expectations that can never be reached, that will only lead you to the point of exhaustion. This is the opposite of that, a rest that has been achieved because of the fact that Christ has done it all. For those of us who are in Christ, we have been given everything we need to have good works that lead to action. We have the Holy Spirit who helps us and instructs us through the Word of God. This morning we'll be taking a stroll through the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians is packed full of some practical, down-to-earth applications, such as counseling followers of Christ. Chapter 2 talks about once Gentiles in the flesh, how we act and thought, and then returns later on in chapter 4, listing how Gentiles operate in the mind and to put off the old man ways and put on the new. Just as an aside, as believers, we are sometimes great at wanting to stop sinning in an area of our lives, but we also must replace the negative with something positive. In those sin areas, we must put on Christ-likeness or look to the fruit of the Spirit and ask the Lord to help grow in that area. We put off the sin and put on Christ-likeness. Ephesians also has is full of good works. And I'm hoping you'll be surprised as to what those good works are and find rest. If you're a list person, you may even be trying to make a list right now inside of your mind. We might be thinking this is about Mother's Day. Don't you know how busy mothers are? Don't you know that rest is often the last thing on a young mother's mind? When we hear about good works, we are usually our own worst enemy. We can come up with a list. I was going to say laundry list, but then someone might add that to their list. And when we talk about good works, we often think of, I have to do, or maybe I have to go somewhere. We believe in terms of maybe trying to earn the Lord's favor through our actions, thinking in terms of having to do, but we forget the gospel, that Christ has finished it all on the cross. We cannot add anything to what Christ has done. Instead, we get to. Out of our love and devotion to our Lord and Savior, because of what Christ has done, our actions become worship. Even our eating and our drinking and our daily activities, because of the good work in our heart and out of our love, we worship our Savior through our daily actions and the small tasks that no one sees except the Lord. Before we begin to look at this, let's bow down in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can go to your word and be challenged to our heart and mind. What is happening here in our hearts and minds is so very important to stop and evaluate. Are we becoming more Christ-like because of the work of the Holy Spirit? Are we just going through the motions of reading our Bibles, but the life-giving words are not making an impact in our life? Please help us to rest in the gospel because of the completed work of Christ on the cross. Do a work in our hearts that affects the mind and our actions, even the words we speak. Please help us to pass this on to the next generation through teaching and modeling the gospel to our kids and to the kids that are in the family of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today will be a bit of a quick overview of Ephesians. The whole book of Ephesians is essential, but we will be focusing on the highlights. I will have to restrain looking at things deeper. Ephesians is a fantastic book. The first half of Ephesians describes who a follower of Christ is because of what Christ has done. In the second half of the book, Paul lays out amazing facts of what Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, would do. We should be motivated to live our life in a manner that is worthy of what Christ has done for us. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 3 to 14 here. Paul greeted the church in Ephesus and then began a fantastic introduction of the gospel. And as I read the introduction, listen for the key words, words that are repeated. They are important. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is then guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. What a beginning to the letter of Ephesians. Thank you, Jesus, for what he has done. And what an encouragement for us as believers. The good news laid out for us. And Paul wasn't finished here, because he takes all of these ideas and begins to unpack them, these themes, as he continues his letter to the church in Ephesus. After the introduction, the redemption in Christ, Paul's prayer is the next heading: prayer for spiritual wisdom, that the Ephesian believers would understand. And we can see the supremacy of Christ all through this prayer. Well, chapter 2, the next heading here is by grace through faith. We're going to take a look at verses 1 through 10 here. Let's read it. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm going to repeat verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And Paul's going to lay out these practical, down-to-earth examples of good works in just a few chapters. But let's go back to our highlight reel of the different headings. The next heading is brought near by his blood, followed by Christ, our peace, Christ, our cornerstone. Chapter 3 talks about the mystery revealed and the purpose of the mystery, as well as appreciation of the mystery. Please turn with me to chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 14 to 21. Starting at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Just a quick comment. The role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, the power that works in us, being strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The Lord is at work through the Holy Spirit to produce Christ-likeness. We need our roots to continue to grow. Well, how? How does that happen? In the Word and depending on the Holy Spirit, leading to growth in the knowledge of the Lord. What is the end result? The fullness of God, the fruit of the Holy Spirit on display. Paul stated sort of the same thing, just a little differently, in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 25. I'll just quickly read it for us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So let's just do a quick recap. As I said, it's going to be a brief walk. Chapters 1 to 3 describes the position and information about the believer. It's also known as the indicatives. These are essential gospel truths we need to understand, especially for those who are in Christ. In chapters 1 to 3, there are no imperatives that are commands until chapter 4. Imperatives are things to do or to put into practice. So, for example, putting away something, or stop doing something, or be imitators of are examples of imperative, examples of commands. So chapter 4 begins with the title, Walk in Unity. And the foundation of this unity is because of chapters 1 through 3. It's all found in Christ, is the foundation for this unity and the basis for it. The following heading is spiritual gifts, being part of the body of Christ, using a given gift to build up the body of Christ for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The next heading is the new man. And quick highlights from this section here is putting off the old man. I have to laugh, my spell check did not like old man all the way through this entire sermon. It wanted to change it, but no, that's what's inside of Scripture. So I'm keeping the old man there. It's the flesh. It's the ways Gentiles think and act. Remember, it needs to be crucified daily, sometimes hourly. That former conduct with its corruption and deceitful lusts, we are to put that off and put on a renewed mind, a new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Next section is, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It starts in chapter 4 and verse 25. I'm going to read chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, just to give you a little bit of a snapshot of this. This is what Paul said. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. See, if we're putting off the old man with its corruption and deceitful desires and sins and lusts, and putting on Christ-likeness, we will go from being a liar to being a truth teller and speaking the truth to one another. We will be angry. Yes, angry, a righteous anger, but it's not at or directed towards someone else. Instead, it's directed at ourself and our heart. And we are angry at our sin. We will do battle with our sin, and we will not let the sun go down until we have waged a war against our sin and destroyed that enemy. We need to be angry at it. As believers, our words should change to be uplifting and building others up. We get rid of bitterness, wrath, and clamor. Clamor is that loud, out-of-control tongue, and evil speaking. Instead, to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, because we understand how we have been forgiven in Christ. How is all of this possible? It's because of the work of the Holy Spirit in the inner man. So let's recap up to this point. So chapters 1 to 3 are the main gospel points of everything Christ has done for the follower of Christ. The one who has called upon the name of Jesus to be saved, they recognize the debt of their sin and how they have been living in the flesh, following its deceitful desires and lusts, committing adultery by not following the Lord, instead going after idols and other desires of their mind, and they are being consumed by them. The person who is called on the name of Jesus to save them understands and has an appreciation for the mystery that has been revealed. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We cannot do anything to save ourselves. Nothing. There is no work we could do to save ourselves. It is a gift of God. Because of what Christ has done on the cross, and revealed by the Holy Spirit, opening our eyes when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We have gone from death to life in Christ. We are no longer to live for ourselves. We have and are to crucify the flesh daily to follow Christ. Why? Why would we do this? Well, just a reminder from chapter 2, verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, this is the rest that all of us as believers need to enter, but especially mothers. I want to ask you a question. Why do you do what you do? What is the point? We realize and are aware of the rest we need to enter, displayed by Ephesians chapters 1 through 3. Christ has accomplished everything for salvation. The Holy Spirit at work in us to produce Christ's likeness and the fruit of the Spirit. This is the gift. We cannot earn or work for it. Christ has done it all. That is the good news. We are adopted into the family of God. The other pieces to this are also part of the good news. I have to give a caution and go back to again to those lists that we may be going on in our head right now, maybe even being made up right now. As I mentioned the word works again, there may be many of you who have gone back to lists of works that you think you need to be doing. And this is where we heap things up on ourselves and we go overboard. A reminder, chapter 2. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Where do we look for these good works, and what are they? Well, they're found in chapters 4 through 6. They describe the good work that is going on inside of our hearts and changes that begin to happen. As our hearts change, our mind is renewed. And this is lived out through our hands and feet and come out of the mouth. From the heart to the head, then to the hands and out of the mouth. The flesh desires get replaced with new desires that are directed by the Spirit. What are some of the good works that God has prepared for us? Well, we will continue until the day we die to continue to put off and put on. If we see an area of sin in our life, we will be purposeful to put off that sin and put on the right and good and holy peace. All of this is possible through the Holy Spirit. Yes, there will be effort on our part, putting that sin to death, crucifying it, and getting rid of it. And the motivation for this is, I get to do this. But we also need the Holy Spirit to do this. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we do not listen to the word and put it into practice. What do I mean by that? So for example, today we read about lying and putting that off. You heard that from the word. And possibly you knew, uh-oh, I lied today. The Holy Spirit convicted you. And instead of confessing it and repenting and going to the one you lied to, you rather ignore what you have heard from the word and you hired for yourself the best mental lawyer you could hire to defend you. And you make excuses and justify your sin as opposed to telling the truth, grieving the Holy Spirit in the process. Instead, our response should have been to confess, to repent, and ask for forgiveness from the one we lied to, as well as our Heavenly Father. This hypothetical example is a small example of a good work because of the work of the Holy Spirit. See, chapter 5 also has examples of good works. Walk in love. Be imitators of God. Walk in love like Christ. In fact, Christ is the example of walking in love all the way through. Look at his example. How he loved us. He was a sacrifice. The imagery of a whole burnt offering. A sweet smelling aroma to the Lord. It echoes Romans chapters 12, 1 to 2, something we are also to be. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if we go back to Ephesians 5, we see getting rid of fornication and covetousness, filthiness, youth, coarse joking. Much like we see mirrored in Romans 12, instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Another good work. Look at the next heading. Walk in light. The fruit of the Spirit, goodness and righteousness. No longer walking in or having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Instead, we expose them for what they are. And therefore, we need to be awake and we need to be vigilant. And we need the armor of God that is listed in chapter 6 in order to be able to do that. The next section, walk in wisdom. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Basically being totally under the Spirit's influence and control. The Spirit helps us to be able to walk in love and walk in wisdom, to walk in unity, to continue to put off and to put on and not grieve the Holy Spirit. We need to be under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit. The good works listed are very down-to-earth and very practical. How we speak and what we do and do not joke about. How we build one another up. How we give thanks to the Lord for what He has done. We are a people who love the gospel and remind ourselves of the gospel daily. Ephesians continues on to talk about good works in our marriages, children's, slaves and masters, or employee and employer relationships, and the armor of God. I'm not going to talk about all of them. I'm just going to do some highlights here. But let's take a look at marriages. Think about the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit here. What would be some of the evidence that this is happening in our marriages? Unity in Christ, around the Word of God, putting off the old man, the flesh, and putting on Christ-likeness together as a couple, obeying the Spirit, walking in love like Christ, walking in the light, and walking in wisdom. Wives are submitting to your husband the example of Christ and what he has done in coming to earth, obeying the Father, submitting to his will, and dying on the cross. Husbands, love their wife. The example of Christ and how he loved us by laying down his life and dying for his bride, washing her in the Word, nourishing her and caring for her. The example of the gospel being lived out in action. She is also part of the body of Christ, so unity in the home that extends to unity in the body of Christ. Gentlemen, notice that our bar has been set high, and our example is Christ. We want to see our wives thrive because Christ also wants to see us thrive. He wants his bride to grow in knowledge, to be strengthened and equipped for ministry. Christ manages his family very well. Wow. We need to take some detailed notes, guys. Children, dads, teaching them and training them, not exasperating them. Exasperation happens when we do not train out of a love for the Lord. If we are trying to instill something that is not inside of us first, we will be hypocritical teachers. Do as I say, not as I do. Children need us to be godly examples. No, we are not perfect, nor will we ever be on this side of eternity. But our children need to see us doing these good works in the home, working the gospel out, putting off the flesh, putting on Christ-likeness. They need to see us being humble, repenting, and asking for forgiveness. We will humbly and daily pray that the Holy Spirit would open our children's eyes and our eyes as well to see our sin and our need for a Savior just like we do. Presenting Christ and Him crucified because of our sin. As our children repent and place their faith in Christ, there will be evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work in our kids, such as obedience and honoring their parents out of reverence for Christ and being teachable. Slaves and masters, employees and employers, working to the best of your ability as you are working unto the Lord. We know Christ is watching us. Therefore, we are obedient in and out of sight. We are hard workers even when no one is watching. We can be counted on to do our best. Why? Because we work for Christ who is watching us. Employers who are Christians, remember, you have a master as well, and he expects more from us, and he will judge righteously. It must have been odd to have a believing servant and a believing master. For Christ, they are on equal footing. And to have unity as brothers in Christ, they're both to live out the good works because of the Holy Spirit was at work in both of their lives. Final example. Let us say we have two believers doing the same task. One is submitting to the Holy Spirit and their heart is being worked on. Good work is happening and the fruit of the Spirit is growing inside of them. The other has no desire to grow or put off the flesh and is grieving the Holy Spirit. But they're doing the task greater or better. Which believer is getting it right? We all have tasks to do. But if our heart is not being worked on and good work is lacking here, we miss the point. When we rest in the gospel and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our heart, resulting in good work, our daily tasks become an opportunity to worship and serve. Even if the only task accomplished that day was to care for a sick child, cleaning their messes, put dirty clothes into the laundry, hold them, and read them a story. This was done with a heart that has good work being formed and resulted in worship and service through those tasks. We were once separated, alienated from Christ, but through Christ's death on the cross, we are offered salvation and able to now be united with Christ. We are a new creature in Christ. Because of the gospel, and because of our union with Christ, because of being a new creature in Christ, we get to participate in those good works that have been prepared in advance. We get to live a life of obedience to our Lord and Savior. Each and every day, we can rest in what He has done for us on the cross. We can depend upon Him in every moment of the day. And may we rest in what He has done. And Lord, help us to be motivated to live in a manner worthy of what Christ has done for us. Our closing hymn is, I Need Thee Every Hour. And may this be our prayer, because we need and are depending upon Christ. We are being worked on by the Holy Spirit, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Stand with me and let us sing.